Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
I want to welcome into studio Mick Ferran. Good afternoon, Mick.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You're with Sphere 17.
I am indeed, yeah.
And we do a lot. That Near FM does a lot with Sphere 17. But I got to ask you to... we were originally going to be talking about an upcoming event, but it had to be postponed. But so we won't be talking about that. But tell us a bit about Sphere 17. There's an awful lot going on there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Sphere 17 is the local youth service for young people 10 to 24 in the Dublin 17 region. We provide a range of services and programmes that reflect young people's interests and needs. I suppose essentially we were planning this event to celebrate a number of things, including the launch of our new strategic plan and our annual report, and also I suppose just the fact that we have quite a lot of involvement from young people at different aspects of the service. We're really about hearing from young people what their view on life as a young person in Dublin 17 is about, and informing our service accordingly.
And you said children from 10 to 24. And I'm just looking here, most of the neighbourhoods that you serve are categorised, there's a word I hate using about any areas, are disadvantaged areas or very disadvantaged areas. Are you talking about young people with needs or problems? Or
well, we talk about all young people, all to young be honest people. With you, John. Yeah, I mean, these classifications for the communities in which we're based and in which, you know, people live, these are provided through the census. So this is kind of objective data that says that you know, areas within the Dublin 17 area and indeed beyond are less advantaged than other areas in Dublin or elsewhere. And the reality is that a lot of funders use this kind of data to inform how they allocate their resources. So we do target young people who we feel are in particular need, and we provide additional supports to those accordingly. But we like to think that we're for all young people from the community.
Yes. Now, coincidentally, I spoke to Lucia Griffin. She's deputy principal at Art School LaSalle, and we were talking about the curriculum and what's taught down there. And mental health came into it a big time. So, do you just find that are there issues around mental health?
Well, there are. Yeah, it is a very significant issue, and I suppose it runs across a lot of different aspects of our work. Essentially, our work can be divided up into maybe 8 different categories, if you like. So we have drop-in activities where, you know, young people come together with their friends to local youth centres in the area and hang out and engage with youth workers in a very informal and supportive environment. And then we do very specific programmes or education or issue-based programmes, group work programmes for small groups of young people. We provide one-to-one support, which will tie in with that mental health stuff. And also, we are involved in detached youth work, which is where we go out into the communities, typically evenings, and engage with young people that we meet out and about who choose not to or are unaware of some of the stuff that's going on in the centres. This time of year, we do a lot of summer projects, which are kicking off at the moment, and outings and residentials. And we also run the local Youth Justice Project, the Wooddale Youth Justice Project. But I suppose the key piece of work that relates to mental health is the Listen Project. And this is a project that we run in collaboration with a couple of other local partners, namely the Northside Partnership, the New Life Centre and Target Counselling, where we provide young people between the ages of 12 and 21 with free listen sessions where they can meet with a trained counsellor and really be heard on any issues that are of concern to them. They're provided with up to 8 sessions free of charge, and we've been operating since about 2013. But we've witnessed a very significant increase in demand really in recent years, and that's really without advertising it. It's working at the moment through word of mouth. So we get a lot of support through small grants from various different organisations and philanthropic bodies, and indeed even the HSE. But what we're finding is that the demand is outstripping the supply of resources at the moment. So, but that particular project is one which we're very proud of, and it's providing a kind of a waiting list free service at the moment, where young people are able to very quickly get access to support, and they can come and talk to a counsellor about any issues that are of concern to them. So that does help address some of those mental health issues that are pretty prevalent for young people today.
Yeah, and the austerity played a big part in that as well.
You did, yeah.
It affects the whole family.
I mean, it affects the household and the resources coming into the household, and it puts stresses on young people and on parents. And you know, we do see that. We see it in terms of housing needs as well. And, you know, I suppose work opportunities. We have identified employment support as a kind of an area that we do want to look to try and do even more work in the coming years as well, to support young people. We also note from a youth survey that we recently compiled towards the end of last year, that money was a primary concern for that 16 plus age group, you know, the concern about, you know, I suppose how they're going to get it.
Yeah, and unemployment is quite high in Dublin 17.
It is, yeah, it is quite high. And I suppose we also have, combined with that, we have which is well documented, the low rate of third level entry from this community as well. And while efforts are kind of ongoing to try and address that, and there's a lot of individual supports out there, it is something that's compounding the issue, I think, a little bit as well.
Yeah, and it's a very thin line there between going down the wrong road or the right road.
Yeah.
And it's... is it hard to steer people in the right direction?
Well, I mean, I guess a big component of our work is to try and support young people to be in a position to make the best choices that they can make for themselves. And I guess the thing that we fully appreciate is that some of the choices that some young people have to make are extremely difficult, and choices they shouldn't have to make, you know, given their age and that. So, but that said, we do have a focus on recognising the circumstances that young people find themselves in, and really trying to build their capacity and, as I said, to make better decisions, and indeed their resilience to cope with the kind of stuff that really they shouldn't have to cope with in terms of stresses and difficulties in their daily lives.
Yeah. Now, would you have training schemes and stuff like that, or is it more a counselling service you provide?
Well, no, I mean, the counselling through the Listen Project is just one aspect of the service. But we do provide additional one-to-one supports. But we, you know, most of the work in youth services is typically done in group work. So you're really about providing young people with a space to come and be with their friends, as I said, engage with the service, and maybe become informed on various different programs and activities. And I guess our view is that for many young people, it's through that engagement with their youth workers that they might be able to identify where additional supports can be provided to help them. And we do tend to refer young people on, or indeed support young people, to access further education or training opportunities as and where possible.
And I'd imagine there's a lot of confidence building involved there as well.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, especially if young people leave school, they're unemployed. To try and get them their confidence back up, that they actually have confidence to go to an interview or do up a CV.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think people can have very low self-esteem, and sometimes that's not that apparent. You know, when you first might meet someone, or particularly if you don't know them terribly well. You know, building up people's confidence is a core part of what all youth work is about, and building up young people's self-esteem. So yeah, we would very much incorporate that in our programmes and services.
And I'm just going back to the Project Listen. I'm looking at a form here that your clients would fill out. And it's fairly, it's a bit ingenious. It's quite straightforward and simple, but it is a bit ingenious. It's a, it starts off with a sad face and ends up with a happy face, and you circle the numbers between that. This is to find out where people are at.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Really, I mean, I guess one of the things that works quite well about the Listen Project is that we look to try and capture in an anonymized way, so without taking any individual's details, just where a young person is at when they first engage with the project. So they talk to the counsellor about that, where they're feeling in relation to about six different areas. So, you know, it could be school life, relationships, home life, that type of stuff. And then following on from the chats and the conversations and the work with the counsellor, they do that exercise again at the end. And that helps give us a picture as to, in a general sense, where people are coming in at and what are the areas they're working on and where are they getting some traction. The idea is that hopefully people will be scoring a little bit higher on following the intervention, on leaving the Listen Project, than they were when they came in.
So you can see there's actually an improvement.
Exactly,
there.
Yeah. And this is the kind of stuff that I suppose is a big part of our strategic plan as well. I'm not in no doubt that the work that we do, much like the work that lots of other community organisations are involved in, is overall of a very high quality and serves real need and is of good value. But the challenge can be that we need to get better at actually demonstrating that in a way that's more meaningful for funders, so they can actually see, well, look, you know, how are you actually measuring that? Can you show that in kind of hard stats, if you like?
Yeah.
And that can be a little trickier given the type of work that we do. So that's something that we're focusing on. But a big part of the work as well that I suppose people mightn't fully appreciate is that in running a service like Sphere 17, there's a huge emphasis on governance as well, and we have a very strong board at the moment, but they've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes to facilitate this. Not least in the past year we've achieved full compliance with the governance code, which is the voluntary code for the community voluntary sector, and one which at the moment, as I said, is voluntary but is increasingly sought after by funders as being a benchmark for where community voluntary community and voluntary organisations you know, should seek to get to. So, you know, those kind of developments and all the work that goes in to achieving those are quite important as well to facilitate the work on the ground.
Yeah, and transparency is also very, very important.
Hugely important. Huge. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think there's a bit of a scandal going on at the moment with an organisation, and people see this and they want to know where their money's gone. That's
of course they do. Yeah, and I think it is important that all of us involved in community voluntary sector organisations or in the charity sector, that we are ensuring that we are as transparent and as accountable, you know, to taxpayers' funding as is at all possible. So, I mean, I suppose in our case, we prepare our accounts in a format that's regarded as best practice. It's charity SORP, and those accounts are available from our website. But we're registered with the Charities Regulator Authority, as all charities are required to be. But we are very mindful that it is so important that people have faith and confidence in their organisations and those that are providing services to their communities.
And you did mention there earlier that you get small grants from certain organisations. Can people donate? Or, you know, do you hold fundraisers, or
We do hold some fundraisers, and indeed we found ourselves in an unusual situation sometimes where even through the Listen Project, parents have been quite keen, despite the fact that we provide the service free of charge, to make some kind of donation. So, I mean, we've been very grateful for that as well. You know, from time to time, we've been involved in bag packing, and you know, young people have been involved in various different ways to do fundraising drives for us, and no doubt there'll be more coming up. So I suppose we kind of promote those as and when they arise. But indeed, if somebody had a particular interest in something that we were doing and wanted to contribute to it, then all I would say is get in touch, and I'd happily chat with them about it. Obviously, you know, it's not something that people should feel compelled to do. But if people are in a position to and would like to, then we'd certainly love to hear from them.
The one-to-one talks that we spoke about earlier, if there's anybody out there listening and thinking about getting in touch, the people that are going to talk to would be highly trained.
They are, yeah. Well, I mean, in addition to the counsellors that provide the supports on the Listen Project, so those are all trained and qualified counsellors. We also, all our youth workers are trained and Garda vetted as well. How the one-to-one with youth workers differs, I suppose, is that, you know, typically what you have is young people develop relationships with youth workers as part of their engagement in the service, and then youth workers might identify where supports might be helpful or needed and engage with them and support them either achieving something they want to achieve or other work that might relate to that. So, but yeah, I mean, all the staff would be Garda vetted and trained and appropriately qualified. Absolutely, that would be a big yeah. part of what we are about.
And everything is non-judgmental.
You know, absolutely, yeah.
And your listeners and your staff would have heard everything before, you know. So if somebody's saying, "Oh, don't have to really talk about this," to somebody, they should be confident that it's been heard before.
Yeah, well, I guess they are very experienced. I mean, we've been in operation now in the area since 2005, and you know, while I would be reluctant to ever say that there's, you know, nothing would shock us. I do think that experience does count when it comes to being able to provide a little bit of support and guidance to young people who are coming in who are, you know, struggling with some issues. And sometimes it's just about providing them with a listening ear as opposed to directing them to do any one thing or other. So yeah, I by and large, you know, many of the issues that are coming up, you know, have come up before. Now, that said, I mean, we are in an age as well where you do have kind of issues relevant to the day, like, you know, cyber safety and matters like that. Yeah. So, you know, I think we do have a good crew of staff there that are well able to deal with most of what comes through.
And I'm just going back to the where are you at form here, and I'm looking at the first one is family, and it starts off not well, okay, very well. If you came across a young adult and they were having trouble at home, you know, there can be friction in families due to money matters and stuff like that. Would you have to deal with that just with the young person, or could you get the parents involved?
Well, I suppose it depends on lots of different things there. In relation to the Listen Project, in which that form is you're referring to there, it's not uncommon for a young, well, depending on the age, for a young person to come with a parent, for example. And sometimes in that very first session, you might get the parent will come in with the child as well and chat with the counsellor just around the kind of expectations for the sessions and how they, you know, how they might run and if there's any particular issue that wants to be communicated. So in that instance, sometimes that kind of stuff can be flagged with a parent or with a family member. In the case of the youth service in general, I mean, we tend to have reasonably good relationships with the family. We do like to stay in touch. I mean, you know, the family are the core primary carer. So really, they're the ones who need to be very much part of any solution in relation to any particular problem or difficulty that might be arising. So we would very much work in that vein.
It sounds like hard work, but I say it's very fulfilling when you see the good that comes out.
Yeah, well, it is, and indeed that's why we had this celebration event planned. It's you know, it's sometimes you can forget to take stock and maybe to look at all that has been achieved, and indeed acknowledge the view of young people in terms of what they think of your service. So that was our opportunity to do that, and indeed we will look to do that again now later in the year. And it is important for all of us who are involved in this type of work and in the wider community voluntary sector to recognise, you know, the achievements that we do have often on a daily basis that sometimes we might take for granted.
Right, Mick, if there's anybody out there now listening and they want to get in touch, are there websites or contact numbers?
Yeah, so our website is sphere17.ie, and the main office number is the Sphere 17 Regional Youth Facility there in Darndale, and that number is 01867 4348. And we do have two other youth centres who may be closer to your area, in both Priorswood and Bonnybrook as well. We have Facebook pages for the three centres, and I believe we're on Instagram and Twitter and all that goes with that. So, or indeed people can call in for an old-fashioned chat as well. We'd love to see them.
And now, what would your future now, your vision of the future be? I know you mentioned some changes there coming down the line. What are your hopes for the future?
I'm going to cheat here and give you our vision as per our strategic plan, and it's really that, you know, we kind of hope for a future where all young people are valued, where we want to see a society where young people have a voice, where young people are respected, and where they feel included no matter what community they're from. And we hope for a society where young people can get a high quality support and have a real chance to be the best that they can be. So this is work we did ourselves only recently, and it does resonate with how we try to, conduct our service. And we do recognise that all young people can achieve great things, and some just need a little bit of support around that. And we feel we can be that support in different ways for different young people.
Okay, Mick Farron, thank you very, very much for calling into me this morning. And is there anything you'd like to add before we...
No, just like to thank you for the opportunity, and I suppose for people to keep an eye out on our social media pages, or indeed get in touch if they have any queries or any thoughts or suggestions. We very much welcome the opportunity to hear from people.
Okay, thank you very much, Mick. It was lovely talking to you.
Thanks, John.
This is 90.3 Near FM.